This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I would make this decision on my own if I were the person who emailed you and look, be a man and just, it's fantasy freaking football.
Mike Shope.
Make a call. You don't need his help. Figure it out. Go to a website. Download an app. What? You can't do it yourself? You need Mike's help?
And the Bulldog.
I don't know what to do. Who should I keep? It's not that hard. Pick a guy. You'll live.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just get on with your life. It's no big deal.
You can't. That's where he goes wrong. It's a big deal. It's not a question of life or death. We all agree. But you'd like to make the most informed decision. It's funny, though. Joe, I mentioned earlier how today is Pete Rose's birthday.
Yep.
80. I'm guessing that guy means nothing to you.
Not nothing. I don't know enough about him to have an opinion, but I feel like from what I know, if I did know more, I would have a very strong opinion. If that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, you're not sure you want to wade into those waters.
Yeah.
If you do, you might end up really just in the deep stuff.
I think if I just sat with Pete Rose's life for 20, 30 minutes, I would come out of that with a very strong opinion of him.
Well, you're much younger than I am and much less of a baseball fan than I am. But where you and I are alike is we love stats. And so if you go to I want to know what happens here. If you go to Pete Rose's baseball reference page, you know the reference sites very well. You call up Pete Rose. The great baseball players, baseball over the other sports because the careers are longer. That's the distinction. And it's much more of a number sport also. Like, it's easier for me to read it in depth. But still, like, it's 20. Pete Rose played for 24 years, all right? Gretzky might have. What was Gretzky? Like, 20? Whatever. It's It's not like it's the most of any sport. It's just the great baseball players will often or always, almost always play for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. So you look at Rose, and it's just a work of art. This page is a work of art for a numbers lover, for a stat lover. 24 years, 17 All-Star games, by the way, at maybe 5 different positions, Rose. I'm not looking at that, but I think that's right.
He's listed at 3 different, at least. So
in All-Star games?
No,
or just overall?
Just overall. But outfielder is one, so that could have been multiple outfield positions.
If I were to say 5, I would be counting the outfield positions differently. But it just goes, this page goes on and on and on. Isn't it the best? The super long batting page, and then the player value batting, and then advanced batting, postseason batting, fielding, goes on forever. He comes up a second baseman, rookie of the year as a second baseman, goes on forever. First base for Montreal. All right. Appearances. And then you get to the awards and the times he led the league in different categories. And Joe, just look at the bold print. It is just glorious. It's the Mona Lisa. It just goes on and on. Fielding percentage, batting average, putouts, singles, doubles, times on base year after year. Oldest player 3 times was first among all players, was the oldest player in baseball. Isn't it amazing? Then you go to similarity scores and the great players listed near Rose, Paul Molitor, Cobb, who he passed in hits, Yount, Brett, Jeter, and then salary. Oh, he made $1 million his last year.
The most he ever made?
Yep, that was his peak.
In a season.
$1 million for the Reds. And I was at his second game as manager. I think it was, maybe it was his first, but he pinch hit. Remember, I told the story before, we're driving to Ohio, my mom's from there and her parents, so we would go every summer. We're in the car. I would always want to listen to like the sports update, of course, right? I'm me, so got two little sisters. They're probably mad. I'm turning off whatever staticky AM station we're listening to in, I don't know, central Ohio as we get close. Give me the sports. Pete Rose is back with the Reds. It was shocking, and we're going to like the next game. And he was the player manager. He did not start the game, which was a big disappointment. This would have been 86, I think. 85, maybe. He does not start the game, but he comes up in the middle of the game as a pinch hitter, so we got to see him, and it was like a massive moment for a fan. What luck. We're just going to a random summer Reds game, and then this happens. Isn't that the best as a fan when you have tickets for something and just out of nowhere something amazing is going to happen in that game and you can look forward to it? Isn't that the best? You know the song "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me," Elton John?
Yeah, sure I do.
You know that song?
Yeah, I know that song.
So there's there's a famous version of that song that George Michael sings live. Like if I run sort of my mixes, that song comes up a lot because I listen to a lot of George Michael, love him, and Elton John, so I get this song a lot. And there's one performance where it's George Michael singing that song, and in the middle, on stage, and in the middle of the song, he stops and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elton John," the crowd goes nuts, and like, there he is, and you're at that concert, you're there to see George Michael, and then this happens. You know what I mean? Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, yeah.
Something extra happens like that. I'm here to see the Reds, but there's Pete Rose back after 9 years or whatever he was gone. That Page, he was not ever my favorite player. And like, I've never really liked him in this latter life that started with the betting scandal and everything like that. I never supported Pete Rose. But the Page is really, 17 All-Star games is a great number.
It is the longest page of any reference site I've seen. And I'm someone who, like, I will look at those for hockey, not for baseball. Mm-hmm. But, like, Jagr's, like, probably a month ago, I probably spent 5 minutes just staring at Jaromír Jagr's hockey reference page. They have the leagues, like, on a lower level that he's also played in. So his might go on a little longer than Rose's just because he played in different leagues. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, you see KHL. You do see the names of those teams on that page.
The Czech teams right. that he plays for, including right now. When I said I would have a strong opinion on Rose, I almost wasn't even thinking of him as a player. Because isn't that just undeniable? Like how great he was?
No.
Like that's, well, of course, not where he's
generally, generally, yes. I mean, 17 All-Star games. He was great. Right. But he wasn't like great, great. What he was good for a long time.
So Pete Rose was never the best.
He was the MVP once, I believe. You know, he
but,
won
I mean, 25 years.
Yeah.
How many people would be MVP if they played 25 years?
Lots of them, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying a lot of them. They could do that.
Anybody
give me
could
25
be MVP
years,
once.
I could get an MVP.
No, I mean, I don't want to overdo it. All-star, the all-time hit leader, he's a compiler to an extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? He hit 303.
But it's still.
It's not Wade Boggs.
It's still massive when you put it all together.
The totals are massive. The longevity, the managing too is a little bit of it. World Series, a famous team, the Red Machine, the Big Red Machine, famous team. But was he ever the best player in the game? No, he was really never the best player in the game. If he was, it was brief.
I'm staring at the number total for games played because I'm not a baseball fan. So like when I see those numbers, like for hockey, it's 1,000 games. That's impressive.
Backstrom tomorrow.
Backstrom, right.
Do you believe that?
No, I wouldn't have guessed he was there. But, you know, actually maybe because, like, Jordan Staal just had his 1,000th game.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pete Rose is, like, 3,600. That's insane.
That's awesome, right?
3,600 games. Yeah.
80th birthday, Pete Rose. So what is the double hook? Do you still not know? You didn't look?
No. No
clue. The Atlanta, it's baseball. I almost slipped before and said, oh, we'll talk baseball, but this is what I had in mind. The Atlantic League is experimenting with two changes in an effort to see what it means to the game. Major League Baseball is trying to figure out ways to become more interesting. What you have now is strikeouts, walks, and homers. The league batting average going into today was 234, I think. Just terrible. No action, right? Nobody steals anymore because of math. Nobody bunts anymore because of the math. The shift. Everybody's so good. There's no errors. Like, there's just no nonsense. It's really clean, and it's just homers and strikeouts. So baseball wants to fix that. They are doing two things in the Atlantic League. One, and this is a very interesting idea that I think might work. They are moving the mound back a foot. Everywhere in baseball forever, 60 feet, 6 inches. In the Atlantic League, 61 feet, 6 inches. They almost did this a couple years ago, 62 feet, 6 inches, but they bailed. But now they're going to do it. And this is more time to hit 98-mile-an-hour fastballs, if those exist in the Atlantic League. They are all over Major League Baseball. More power pitchers all the time. They're throwing high 90s. A lot of times they break down, but, you know, you strikeouts and walks and homers. Like, that's the game. So to try to offset that, they're moving the mound back a foot to give the batter more time to react, hopefully more balls in play. The other is the double hook. So you have the DH, right, Joe?
Yeah.
And so the pitcher never bats, the DH bats. Once you, I'm just reading this today. Like, I didn't even know this existed, this idea. Once you take your starting pitcher out, which is happening way earlier in baseball than it used to, by far, managers are just loath to having their starter get to the third time through the order. So Blake Snell in the World Series, like, they're just taking him out because the data says we should do it. We're data-driven. We don't want our starting pitcher to be in there too long. So 5-6 innings, tops, just get out of there. The double hook rule is, once you take your starting pitcher out, you lose your DH. And the reliever goes into that spot. So you have a little bit more to think about. Do you want to lose your DH? Maybe it depends on where you are in the order. Maybe it won't matter at all. But they want to see starters last longer into games, more value for the starters, more strategy later. Because, you know, now you're using your best relievers in high leverage, but you can just roll out. In the majors, you'll see 6, 7, 8 guys some nights, and then they'll send them down and somebody else will come up. They're almost interchangeable once you get to the deeper parts of your bullpen, 12, 13, 14 pitchers. It's just insane and it's boring. So the double hook rule is the idea in the Atlantic League. Once you take your starter out, you lose your DH for the rest of the game.
That idea I'm in love with.
Like, right.
The major should right away take that up. Like, we'll see how it works. But,
well, you're going to want to hit for those relievers, but you'll need bench guys to do it with. And now in the majors, you're seeing 12 or even 11 position players active for a given game. I don't know if they've actually gotten to 11. 12 is low. You've got the backup catcher, and then you have one or two guys who can play everywhere, or maybe pinch runner types.
Mm-hmm.
But really, your lineup is loaded top to bottom. Everybody can hit for power, and you don't need these bench guys. You'd rather have the relief pitchers. But if you have this rule, it would seem, okay, well, I'm going to want to take my starter out because he's like Lizardo yesterday for Oakland or Maeda today for Minnesota. Like, it's just going badly. You pull him. Of course, right? Obviously.
Yep.
But that means you lose your DH. So I'm going to want to have a couple of sticks to hit for the relievers with. And that changes the equilibrium, which is probably good.
Yeah, I love this. I mean,
you're all about the
adds,
double hook.
It does add to the strategy too, though. Like, can you then figure out how much more valuable it is to pull your relief pitcher in or pull your starting pitcher in the fifth inning versus the seventh inning? Like, what and where you are in the batting order, I'm imagining, will affect that as well. But I think that's going to increase the amount of strategy, too. And
yeah,
you're going to have to be even smarter. And I think, you know, like, sometimes I hate what's happened to baseball because, like, when it gets put the way it gets put, and that, like, the math and the data has almost ruined it. Because I want that to exist in sports. But for that to exist in sports, you need the leagues to keep moving the goalposts. You need more change year to year. You need more flexibility on rules. And I feel like baseball is typically the slowest to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that that sport has been figured out by the math and the data, like they need to be at least even experimenting with rules like this. So the Atlantic League, what is this, by the way? This is like
Atlantic
double
League. I don't think it's double A. No, I think it's lower. Okay. It might even be independent.
Well, I hope it works because I want to see stuff like that start to be implemented higher up.
This is only for the second half of the season, so that starts August 3rd. Strikeout rates have increased for 15 consecutive years. And so we're hoping here, baseball is, that this 1 foot added distance between the mound and home plate will give batters more time to react and hit the ball. Theo Epstein, by the way, is behind it. Theo Epstein left the Cubs.
He's not doing anything right now, right?
He's doing this.
He's doing this?
He went to work for Major League Baseball to help figure out new ways to improve the quality of the game, the entertainment value of the game. So this is what Epstein is out there working on.
Well, I love that.
Me too, right?
Yeah.
That's great. And who cares if it doesn't work?
Right, try it.
Whatever. In hockey, they've been using the AHL for these sort of things many times over the years, going back to when I was in Rochester and they would have, I don't know if it was the overtime originally, like the extra point or just...
the 3-on-3.
You know what?
I tried.
I think this happened. I don't know if I was still there. So when would Tortorella... I would have been there. John Tortorella was the Rochester coach at the time. And they put... I think this is right. They put in the loser point rule. And he pulled his goalie in overtime because he was going to get a point anyway. I think this is right. He was going to get a point anyway. So he pulled his goalie to improve his team's, the Amherst's chances of scoring, and they got scored on, and he's maybe like, oh, well, okay. We got our point. And I think that happened like maybe right away in that season, the first season of this, and they amended the rule so you couldn't do that. Now if you pull your, I think this is still the case, if you pull your goalie in overtime, nobody does it, and you give up an empty net goal, you don't get your point. It's happened that at the end of the season, a team needs 2 points to get into the playoffs, and they get to overtime. I think this happened in an Ottawa-Montreal game once. And so the team that needed the win pulled the goalie to have to just, we need, 1 point is no different than none. So we had to get the two, and then you do it, and you risk that point. But that is still a rule. And I think it was John Tortorella in Rochester is like, okay, well, this is kind of a loophole in it, and then they just changed it right away after that. So they've been using the AHL for, I mean, going back a long time, maybe way longer even, with other ideas to experiment.
This reminds me of Daryl Morey, who is the GM of the 76ers. I think last week or the week before, he said that the three-pointer in the NBA is worth too much. And mentioned, like, maybe you go to 4 and 3.
Oh, that
just
guy.
Because,
I love that guy.
Like, yeah, but those are the minds I want working at my sports.
Yes.
Like, this is what's happened. The game's been figured out. All right, so let's change it. And, like, history be damned. Because obviously that would, all the records and everything would be screwed up.
Are we comfortable with the free throw still being worth one if a layup is worth three?
I don't know if he got to that. that I don't know. I would like to, if I would just keep it at one. But
you would? You wouldn't change it to 1.5?
No decimal.
No decimals?
No, we need too complicated. No decimals.
What would that do to the spreads?
Oh, yeah, because you could land on...
Everything would go up.
If the over's 240 and a half and it's 240 and a half, what happens?
Right. Right. I hadn't thought of that. You'd have to get into the quarters.
Yeah.
The line on this game is 240.83.
Oh, my God.
Love that guy, Daryl Morey. All right. We'll talk some NFL draft here next. A lot of interesting drama with where quarterbacks will go. Ryan McChrystal of Number Fire joins the conversation after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.